Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together to worship you, to praise you, and we can come to your word. We ask you that, Lord, our ear, Lord, may be able to hear what you want us to know and understand, that we may appropriate all the good things that you have done for us. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So last week, we talked about some important concept to be able to receive from God. We looked at abiding in the Word is the way to receive things, not by effort, but by the power that the world has in itself. That power enables us to appropriate all the things that God wants us to have. Our confession is what activates God's activity and promises in our life. And that is really makes the difference, because it triggers the manifestation of God's power and grace in our life. And so then the last thing that we talked about was what they said in Ephesians 2:8, you know, the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. The understanding of that scripture is critical for our ability to receive things from God. We all are familiar with that scripture. But really, we had to have revelation. We had to have the understanding of it so that we may really be able to connect with that truth. And that truth is going to help us to break through any resistance that we may have in getting things from God. Today, we are going to move more in that direction. See the importance that our faith has in receiving things from God. Okay. I mean, starting with verse Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You know, that by itself, that statement, that scripture should tell us how important our faith is. How important it is for us to understand what our faith is and how we can operate in that dimension. If we don't, we cannot please God. No matter what efforts we are making, no matter what we are trying to do, this looks religious, it looks pious, it looks whatever you want to call it, okay, he's not going to make any impact or many change in our life or in the things that we are trying to get with God. See, God doesn't change. We had to change. We had to line up with his ways to be able to break through. We need to understand his ways. And that one makes all the difference. You know, we can see even the power of God. But unless we understand the way he works, we are not going to be able to move in that dimension. And it's really the question of being able to enter a spiritual dimension that God has, his kingdom, and operate in his kingdom. And according to, when we do that, we do not do things according to this normal physical world. We do things according to his ways. You know, in Psalm 103 talks about that, you know, he made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. See, you can see his acts, but unless you know his ways, you cannot do the things that Moses did. And he, you know, anyone who is in the kingdom is greater than anyone of the greater prophets in the past. Amen. So we should expect big things happening in our life and through us if we are open to His Spirit. And His Spirit is in us because it's inside us. It comes with us. Wherever we go, He goes.
Amen.
And it was different in the Old Testament. See, often people do not understand the basic difference between Old Testament and New Testament. There is a new covenant in function here. And that covenant operates in a different ways. We can have greater promises than they had. Hallelujah. See, many criticize the faith message because they don't understand it. There have been abuses, absolutely, this is true and about everything. But the fact is, you know, if you don't believe, you don't understand faith, you can get anywhere with God. Because it's there where really we please Him and we, and pleasing God, what does it mean? It means simply that the fact that we, the things that He promised become reality in our life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The thing is, many people think, you know, that they had to work out their faith. They had to get more faith to get from God. And this is really an enemy's trick that uses to keep them in inability to receive from God. Because there is no need of any great faith. See, faith is not your power. Faith is only a switch that you have within yourself to allow God's power to get through.
Amen.
And that can do anything. I mean, you know, there is not much effort to go there and turn a switch and turn on a motor or something big that can have great power. You just have to touch it with your finger. See, the same thing is your faith. You don't need great faith. You have to, the Bible talks about Jesus saying, you know, the great faith that they say, for example, the centurion had. You know, but what you have to see what this that expression actually meant. I'm not going to go into that today because we don't need to. All right, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. You know, and see that, you know, when it says there, when they had come to the multitude, and when came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, this is Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic, excuse me, and suffers severely, for he often falls in the fire and often in the water. So he brought him to his disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation." He was ticked off with his disciples, evidently. He was upset. He was expecting them to be able to do that. All right? It's pretty clear here. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So the idea is, you know, wasn't a big deal for Jesus to do that. Okay? And Jesus, okay, so really the thing, you see, the power was there to do it. Jesus expected his disciples to have the power to do it. And they did not have it because they weren't successful. Now, there is always confusion about these verses because of what comes after. And really, is the enemy that plays tricks with our mind, or the people's mind. See, you have to understand one thing. Your faith, the faith you have enough faith for anything you need to do. But your faith is going to be tested. The enemy always try to see if you really believe it. It's not God. The enemy tries to put hindrances so that you are looking at the hindrances instead of looking at the Word of God. That is what blocked them. Because even the disciples were surprised because they couldn't get results. They said, well, you know, evidently it never happened before to them. If it would have happened before to them, they would not ask him, you know, why didn't the demon go out? See, before they were always successful. This time they weren't. Okay, let's go there and see what happened there. Verse 19. Then the disciple came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? See, they were surprised. You can see that from there. So Jesus says to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you. See, when Jesus said assuredly, or when he said verily, I say to you, whatever there, is because he's always saying something that people may find difficult to hear. See, they have a problem to accept it. That's why he's saying, he's reinforcing the message and say, look, listen to carefully this. Okay? You can be sure about that. Okay. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. So he's talking, before he says, you know, that you don't need much faith. You just need a mustard seed of faith. Evidently, they had, and mustard seed is the biggest little seed that you can get. Okay? So you don't need much, just a little bit is enough to get any result you want. Because it's not your power, it's his power. Amen. So it's not your ability, it's his ability. The only thing that you have to have is to act, operate on your faith. But doesn't stop there. Let's see what it's saying after. You see, the problem was not the lack of faith, was the unbelief. It says, because of your unbelief. You know, so people confuse faith and with unbelief, you know, and they think they are the same thing. There are two different things that can operate in you at the same time. You see, what is that? Why is that? Well, what is unbelief? Unbelief is believing something that is contrary to the word of God. Faith is believing something that comes in of respect or is along the word of God. And you can have two conflicting beliefs within yourself. One moment one is operating, the other moment the other one is operating. And the problem is not that your faith needs to be so big to be able to move a mountain. The problem is the unbelief that is operating there and is counteracting what the faith is doing. That's what makes the difference, where this unbelief comes from. There are essentially three sources of unbelief. One source of unbelief is wrong doctrine or wrong teachings. You know, if you hear that God, for example, doesn't want to heal you, or maybe heal you when he feels like it, then you have that idea in you that counteracted when you go to God, for example, to receive healing, and you are going to be there, and you know, does he want me to do it now? See, at the moment, you are questioning the fact that God is going to want to heal you, and the next moment, you go on the scripture and says, you know, by stripes you were healed, and so there is a contradiction right there. The thing is that when you start wavering between the two, you know what happens is what it says in John, in James chapter 1, verse 6. You are going to receive nothing. Why? Because there are two forces within yourself fighting one against the other. There are two beliefs, if you want, but we don't call it a belief. You call unbelief, fights that you don't believe. And so he just reduces your ability to receive to nothing. That's what James says. If you are wavering, you cannot receive anything from God. That's one of the sources. The other source that you can get it is from past experiences. You may have gone through things that have, you know, that didn't work before. And so because it didn't work before, maybe you didn't understand, maybe there were other things affecting, at the moment you didn't have faith, you didn't that you got some experience according to which you start thinking and it's affecting the way you think today. But in this case, both of these things were not the problem with the apostles or the disciples. See, they have been having success whenever they went. I mean, they went back to Jesus and said, even demons are, just leave when we pray. So evidently, they had successes, and so they should have been able to do that. But there was another element that affects us. And probably it's one of the most difficult to overcome. It's our senses. You see, when we see, we are grow up depending on our senses. We need them. You don't cross the street without looking on the both sides. I mean, it's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
But you have to use your senses when they need to be used, not when they are a hindrance for the Word of God to operate.
Amen.
So the idea here is that we have to understand what happened there. The story that the fathers explained very clearly is that when they started to pray for them, he started, have you ever seen somebody that has an epileptic attack? I did. They start foaming, then you're going down on the floor, falling on the floor, biting them, their tongue and everything else. It's not it affects your senses and your feelings. All right? So the fact is they saw that. And probably they never saw anything like that before. And they were affected and they said, oh my goodness, this is powerful. When instead, the fact that there is a manifestation in the physical when you cast out a demon means absolutely nothing. You just make up a fuss. But if you believe the fast that he's doing, you think he's powerful and he's not going to leave. The thing is, that's, it's using your senses to affect the way you are thinking at that moment and to activate your unbelief. It's, oh my goodness, this is big business. So the idea is, because of their unbelief, because of what they saw, what they heard, the effect that they had, same thing. You can be, I'm healed by Jesus' name. But you go to the doctor and say, you really have this terminal problem. Oh, all the faith is gone. The point is, will you believe? You believe the word or you believe the guy that's saying something that according to the flesh is maybe true, but there is a reality that is much bigger than the flesh reality.
Amen.
And that is the spiritual reality. And you in the spiritual reality were healed 2,000 years ago, the same way as you were saved 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
If you believe that you were saved and you can receive it today, you should be able to receive your healing today as you did for the same on the same basis, completely the same thing. There is no difference. The atonement, what Jesus did, paid both for this body, he paid for our body, and with his life paid and his blood paid for our spirit. So, if you receive what he did, your spirit is not sick. Your body may be sick. The only thing you have to do is to realize that your spirit is more important than your body. That your body has to line up with your spirit. And that is going to happen when your faith is in operation. You see, when your faith start believing what God has done, that is a reality, and so that energy, that power, that God's power, not your power, that is in you, in your spirit, because you are a born-again believer, is there operating in you. And the same, if you just believe, Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you, dwells in you, which also quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
So, but, for that scripture to be, you can quote that scripture and talking about somebody else, No, he's talking about you. When you operate your faith, the power, the energy that is within you, within your life, within your spirit, is going to be transferred, quickened to your mortal body. But you have to do that all the time. If you go on and off, on and off, on and off, you're back on the same place that you were before. You never get anywhere. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, you know, if today you are sick and you need healing, you start that to, you know, that's the way to receive healing from God. One of the way, anyway. You start taking that scripture and start seeing it with your spiritual eyes as operating in you. You start seeing the power of God inside your spirit, filling you up, ready to come out and give life to your mortal body. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Amen. And you let that power flow through your faith. You believe no matter what you see physically, no matter what you feel physically. This is different than the operation of the gifts. Operation of the gifts, you know, happens like that. You know, depending on, you know, but it says even a mustard seed of faith is going to produce the move the mountain. Whatever the mountain is. Are you still there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I mean, that's is too simple for people to accept it. They are there like the apostles, they are like the disciples, you know, looking at the circumstances, looking at the physical situation, looking at the way they feel, their body feels, and they believe the body instead of believing the spirit, the word. It's by believing the word that you know, faith is a decision you make. It's just as simple as that. You just push the button and the power flows. Hallelujah. I mean, can you get any better deal there? Tell me. Praise the Lord. We're going to see more about this. Okay. We have to see really what you believe. You have to get to the place. Okay. You know, we must overcome our unbelief to be able to receive from God. It's not that, you know, if you are born again, let's face it, if you are born again, you have the faith to make the biggest miracle that can anybody receive already.
Amen.
I mean, being born again, your spirit was dead, now it's alive, and it's the most important part of you.
Thank you.
Is the biggest miracle that you can receive to be born again. All this other stuff is peanuts.
Amen.
Hello? You got it. It's yours. But you have to start standing strong on that position and believing, looking at the word. And we're going to see that even more in detail because it's so important to understand what we look, we give power to. Or what we focus on, we give power to. There are examples in the Bible about that that we are going to look more in detail. See, but let me continue on this. Let's finish this part of the scripture, Matthew 17, the last verses. You know, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And everybody assigned this kind to the demon is not talking about the demon. He's talking about the problem that he was still at that moment talking about, which is unbelief. Unbelief goes away only by prayer and fasting. Unbelief based, let me qualify that. The first two unbelief that I talked about, the unbelief coming from teaching, wrong teaching, and unbelief talking from past experiences, doesn't go away from prayer and fasting. It can go away very simply by hearing the word, by looking at the word. The word is enough to overcome that. You don't need to pray and fast. You have to go to the word to see the truth, and the truth set you free.
Yeah.
Now, the other ones, instead, is determined by your carnality, your flesh, I mean your senses. And so that the senses must become weaker and your spirit become stronger. And you do that by prayer and fasting. You don't fast and pray to change God's ideas. God doesn't change. He's not impressed by your prayer and by your fasting. What prayer and fasting do is change you. Change the way you see things. Change the way you relate to reality. Change the way you look at reality. And that means prayer and fasting deal with your flesh. And that what gives you the victory in that case. Because the unbelief cannot raise up the head and says, oh, look at that. Listen to that. You know, you hurting is not gone. Well, you hurting has to go. Hello? Still there? Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we see how to handle that. That's the way we should be able to fix the problem of not receiving. So, now, what has to happen? What are the things, you know, how we keep there? Okay, overcome the physical exposure to things. Well, one of the ways that you can overcome the physical exposure is, you know, don't go and listen to people that say the wrong thing. I mean, that's the easiest way, isn't it? I mean, don't go and ask anybody that doesn't have any faith, that doesn't understand anything, that is not even born again. You know, what should I do now? Because you know what they're going to tell you. You know, certainly something doesn't line up with the Word of God. Okay? So that's, but there is more. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, says, but we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? The spirit, the things that the word talks about. Because it doesn't talk necessarily about physical things, it talks about spiritual things. So we look at these things, we depend on these things, we focus on those things, all right? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the thing is, any physical things that you may have there, that you may have heard and everything else, is passing. You know, I always use these things, you know, when things are not moving, well, even this will pass. You know, they'll go. Why? Because they are physical. But the spiritual things are eternal. If God says, by stripes you were healed, then that's true and it's eternal. It was there from the beginning. It was there since when Jesus offered his own body in your place. It was done. So if it's done, it's never going to change. The physical thing is going to change. All right. Now, we have to learn to focus on the right thing. How do we do that? Well, we have an example. Abraham. Okay, Abraham is our father of faith because he was the first one operating, you know, well, no, wasn't the first one, but he was the one that, you know, happened in such a description. It goes in so much in detail that can really teach us how to do it. Okay. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. You see, he didn't look at it. He did not consider it. He didn't know even, you know, his body was dead. You know, he didn't look about, well, if you need healing, he didn't look about the pain. He didn't look about the manifestations. He looked at what God said. Okay? Let's continue here. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, there was a double miracle that had to take place there. Not just him. Okay? Even him and Sarah. Okay? Verse 20. And did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So he was giving glory to God before he got it. And that's just evident. I mean, he wasn't perfect. Abraham has lots of problems. He has fears and stuff like that, dominating in him. It doesn't matter, you know. But at the same time, you know, he had a promise from God. You see, he heard from God. See, that's what we need to, you know, we had to hear God's promises. You see, the promises are the key for us to achieve anything. You cannot do just because you want to believe something. You have to have a basis on what to believe, and the basis on what you believe is the word of God, is God's promise. See, he promised something to you, and you can trust God because he is faithful, and he's not a man that he should lie. So when he said something, he's going to do it. Actually, it's already done in our case. As you know, you just see 1 Peter 2:24, you know, by his stripes we were healed. Before you even get sick, before even we were born, we were healed.
Amen.
It was all taken care of. The business was finished 2,000 years ago. And if we open up and we get allow the enemy to put stuff on us, that we had to realize that we allowed it, and we have to take authority to kick him off again, and we had to allow the power of God to do the job. Okay. Now. So he gave God glory to God, and so he was strengthened in faith. You see, you start what he was doing. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be a father of many nations. See, the evidence of that he even starts speaking it. You know, we said when a component is actually speaking what the word of God says. So he starts speaking the word, says, well, he wasn't going around, says, you know, God had me that. No, he said, he changed his name. Each time anybody was talking with him, you know, he was calling him by name, he was reminded what was going to happen. That he was the father of many nations. So that was a reminder for him, where he kept his focus. But it wasn't just that. There was much more. We're going to see, you know, and later on. And being fully convinced, you see, you get to the place in which you are fully convinced. You see, one other thing, you see, meditating on the word is not something that you do because you say, well, yeah, half an hour a day I'm going to meditate. Meditate on the word. If you read Psalm 1, you meditate on it day and night. How are you going to do that? With the natural thing you do when the word is inside you. How did Abraham did? Well, God told him, you know, look at the sand and look at the sky and the stars. I mean, day and night. During the day, he was walking in the sand and he was saying, all the sand, he said, these are all my children. Hallelujah. At night, he would go out of his tent and look up, and they were holding the stars up there. He said, look how many. You see, that's the way he was meditating. And God told him to do that. It's the right thing to do. You had to be able, you see, talking about 2020 vision, you had to see in the spirit, you had to see the promises of God realizing, materializing before your eyes, before it's going to be materializing the physical. And we have a part. See, we had to hear, we had to see, we had to ask God to actually show us so that his word is not just something written on a piece of paper. It's Rhema. It's a word spoken to us that we are going to implement in our life and becomes real because we are believing it. Because we took a position, we stand on it, we believe it, we want to see it manifested in our life, and we are not going to move from it. You see, that's what makes the difference. Okay, because he was fully convinced with what he apprised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, that was the way he received it. That doesn't stop there. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that this was imputed to him, but also for us. You see, that apply what happened to him applies to us as well. Also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from our Lord from the dead. So the idea is, you see, we have to believe that that power is available to us. That power was manifested in Jesus when he was raised from the dead. That power was operating in him, and the word says that the same power is operating in our body. I mean, no matter what problem you have today, you're still alive. Amen. It's nothing compared with being dead for 3 days. Okay? So, and that is working in you, the same power. And it's not the only place. Romans 8:11 is not the only place it says that. You know, there are many other places it talks about the power working in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you ready to get raptured? I mean, absolutely. This is something that we had to realize and we had to live by, because that is what's going to give us the victory. The victory is not, doesn't happen automatically. The victory happens as a result of us believing what this word says. And it is victory. Hallelujah. See, this is how we get God's promises. You know, therefore, it is by faith, Romans 4:16, just before a bit. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seeds. See, it is of faith that is according to grace. So what according to grace? I mean, what is the grace? Grace is the promise. Grace is the gift that God has given us. If grace is being healed, grace is walking in divine health, grace is being forgiven, grace is being successful in the thing, everything you do. These are the things that are available to us. Grace is peace. Shalom, that includes all of these things put together. So all these things are available to us, but are available to us through faith, and they are the grace of God given to us. It's given to us. It's the gift. Grace, charis in Greek, means gift. So it's a gift. A gift, you don't buy it. The gift, you don't deserve it. A gift, you are not working for it. A gift is something that you get because somebody wants to give it to you. That's what the Father does with us. This is the way he will minister to us. He doesn't deal according of our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You know, Psalm 103. So if that's the case, we have to understand that we have to operate the way he planned, not the way we think, because, you know, according to the world, everything you get is because you work for it. Well, no. Hallelujah. We get it. It's ours. Not because we deserved it, but because he is graceful and merciful and wanting to bless us. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good God?
Yes.
Amen. And this is why, you know, the same, you know, continuing that verse, you know, that the promise may be sure to all the seeds, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, and even the one in the law before, they had to get it by faith anyway. Hallelujah. All right. So that's the way we become. I'm going to put another scripture here. That's the way we get things. And we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, and as his divine power, not our strength, not our power, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things?
All
things. Not just some. Everything is for ours. Hallelujah. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So that is his glory and his virtue, but he called us that way. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Let's say it together. Exceedingly great and precious promises have been given to us. We must take them. Amen? All right. Given to us. That through this, you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, we don't need to be lusting. We don't need to want stuff. We have everything we need. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. That means we got everything we need. See, the thing is, you can look up within yourself and say, do I feel that I got everything I need? Because if you don't feel that you got everything you need, then there is something that has to change within you yet. You have to get to the place in which you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and your heart agrees with your mouth. Amen. Otherwise, that confession doesn't work. See, you have to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. So you start believing with your heart. I mean, you start, how do you believe? Well, you can see the word. I mean, if there are other things, whatever they are, you know, the three unbelief sources that we talked about before, you work on those sources so that the unbelief is demolished within you and you can accept what the word of God says. You go to the word continuously and keep that word in your mouth and keep until it become a reality for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You get anything today? Yeah. All right. So we need to make a confession. I mean, we have to agree with God. All right? Because by agreeing with him and speaking with our mouth, we are going to receive the salvation, we receive the manifestation of what the promise says. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Lord. For your promises. We receive them. We believe your word. And every word that you say that is a promise for us, we believe with our heart. Anything that contradicts your word, we reject. We believe that you are set free, that we are forgiven, that our sins have been taken care of, that we have been changed, that everything in us today is of God, that you have healed us, forgiven us, given us strength, given us victory in every area of our life. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Now you do it.